There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Am I your type of holiday?
Every couple of weeks, we plan a holiday for you that is one specific theme. So far, we've gone underground, we've gone to top golf destinations, we've done car holidays. Mm-hmm. And if you like the sound of any of that, you can jump online to DubaiEye1038.com and you can find it all online there. But today, since we're a diff,
yeah,
I thought, you know, it's the last day. Why not do top film festivals that you can go to around the world?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them, isn't there? That, you know, are really cemented. They're years and years old. And, of course, we spoke to the chairman of DIFF just a short while ago, Abdulhamid Juma. And, you know, he's saying that now Dubai's in the top 10 of film festivals on the planet.
Yeah, I have no doubts in that. It's such a great festival, the Dubai International Film Festival. But if you've not had enough films around in this week of the film festival that's going on, let's start with taking you around the world. Let's head off to Spain first for the Madrid International Film Festival. This is the sort of directors who showcase their films there.
I'm Shom Shukla from India, from Mumbai. And I have got two films here. That is Sandcastle and the second is Picnic.
My name is Dimitri and I'm originally from Russia. I'm representing South Beach on Hills.
My name is Juan Carlos and I directed Know How, a film written and acted by foster care youth.
My name is Paul Griffin. I'm the executive producer and producer of Know How.
My name is David Jure. I'm from Argentina and our film is 313.
I'm Nicholas Douglas Wood. I'm the director of Seagull Boy and I'm bringing my film here to the Madrid International Film Festival.
So this happens every year in June. Yeah. Hundreds of small independent and even the large studio producers are in Madrid for the annual film festival, which is open to all genres. Now, Spain has over 40 festivals. But the most,
it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
40 film festivals.
Exactly. Can you imagine the amount of things that you can get up to yeah. when you're in Spain?
Yeah.
But the biggest one is held in November. It's called the Alcine Film Festival. It's one of the oldest short film festivals in Europe. It began in 1983 and then it was specifically created for short film directors and producers. But for the past few years, it has showcased full-length features and documentary ones as well. So that's what you can get up to in Spain.
Yeah, it sounds like 40 festivals is just unbelievable, isn't it? I'm sure some probably, you know, kind of specify on certain genres, you know, that maybe horror films or, you know, like a comedy or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. It must be, you know, put into different genres. But I just think it's a great way to watch a lot of foreign films as well,
yeah.
which you wouldn't normally necessarily watch them, maybe because you've missed it out because of all the languages. But it's a great way to get into foreign films. But now from Madrid, we're going off to London for the largest independent film festival in the UK. It's not the Sundance, it's called the Rain Dance.
The Rain Dance,
yes.
I like the name.
Yeah, so
it's probably because it's always raining when they go there.
Probably, I guess that was the inspiration behind it. Now, this festival runs independently and showcases the best films that are produced by independent and first-time filmmakers. But Rain Dance is also a renowned film school that operates throughout major cities, including London, Los Angeles, New York, Vancouver, Toronto, Berlin, Brussels, you know, you name
yeah,
it, and they've got
everywhere.
A school. Yeah, but if you go on their YouTube channel, you can even find little episodes to help you become a filmmaker, like this one about audio.
How many times have you clicked on a video only to be greeted by this?
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Jeffrey. Today, we're here at the little boys' room in my work, and we're going to find out if you really can drink the water from the toilet. All right, let's find out.
Yeah, annoying, isn't it? Well, I'm here to hopefully prevent you from subjecting anyone else to this kind of torture in the future. Tip number one, use a microphone. Now, this may seem obvious, but the quickest way to make your video or film seem 100 times more professional is to use an external microphone. Most cameras, internal microphones, including the ones in these DSLRs that I'm using, are very low quality and therefore they produce very low quality sound. You should never use your camera's internal microphone.
Good tip.
It is.
Yeah, really good tip. I mean, you think if you're buying an expensive camera that the microphone's going to be right up there, but not the case by the sounds of it.
No, especially if you want to be taken seriously, I think
yeah.
You need a microphone. But that their YouTube channel for Rain Dance, it's got great, great videos of, you know, tips and tricks that you wouldn't normally necessarily think of, especially if you're getting started. So
yeah.
That's definitely one to look out for if you're interested in filmmaking. And the festival itself started in 1992 when Elliot Grove came up with the idea to help extend the school activities. It's listed by Variety as one of the world's top 50 unmissable film festivals.
Really?
Yeah, and although it's a smaller festival, it is responsible for premiering the Blair Witch Project. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I just certainly have.
And the War Games, that's at the end of the day. So the 26th edition of the festival, which is in 2018, next year, it will be held in London's West End Film District, and that's between September 19th to the 30th.
That must be awesome. You know, I mean, I was recently in the West End, of course, chatting with the cast of Evita that's coming to the opera, and, you know, it's such a hip, cool place to be. I can just imagine this festival rain dance fitting right in there.
Yeah, and considering it's September, I think it'll stick to the name, and there will be plenty of rain for the rain dancing, I suppose. But we're staying in London, and this time we're off to the London Film Festival of the BFI. So back in 1956, film critic Dilys Powell thought that London should have their own festival. He and the British Film Institute's director James Quin created the London Film Festival, and cinema greats like Ingmar Bergman and Luchino Visconti walked the red carpet to view the roster of 15 films at that time.
Just 15 films.
Yeah.
It's not many, is it?
Not at all. But today, 50 countries participate with as many as 300 films that are featured during the festival. It takes place in October. And BFI attracts film fans, directors, writers, producers. 150,000 people are expected to attend it on a normal day. And you can expect to see everything from small documentaries to experimental films. And that's just happening in London.
Am I your type of holiday?
So far, we have seen a couple of film festivals that you can attend, starting from Madrid in Spain, then we've done two in London, and now from rainy London, we're off to America. If you're tuning in for the first time, what we do is we set up a holiday for you with a particular theme.
Yeah.
And this time, because it's the last day of TIFF, we decided to go with film festivals.
Yeah, I mean, some great locations. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Madrid and, you know, spending a week at a film festival and taking in the city.
Yeah, one of the 40 film festivals in Spain, so you've got to pick. But now we're off to America, specifically Middleburg, Virginia. It's nestled amongst the mountains of Shenandoah. I will admit it sounds a bit like something out of a Peter Jackson movie. This takes place every October. It's got a laid-back atmosphere. It's perfect for movie lovers who want to avoid the crowds and enjoy movies in a more serene and peaceful surroundings. And despite the fact that it's the newest film festival on the list, it still manages to have a great lineup of films, from the award contenders to the classics. Here's Sheila Johnson. She's the founder.
The idea of putting this film festival together, I have to say, was really Robert Redford. I brought him up here on the property where the resort is, and he looked down onto the town of Middleburg, and he says, you know, you really should put a film festival here. And so from that moment on, and that was maybe almost 4 years ago, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to do that, but I got to get the resort built first.
Well, it's good enough for Robert Redford. It's good enough for Mark Lloyd, for sure.
Exactly. So if you want to start your film festival experience slow and relaxed before you jump onto the bigger ones, then this is the place to be. It's Middleburg in Virginia in the United States. And now from one beautiful location to another, this time we're going to Switzerland for the Locarno International Film Festival. It takes place in August. Take a little listen to this.
1946, the festival takes its first steps. It's the start of a journey that today has made Locarno, alongside Venice and Cannes, into one of the world's longest-running film festivals. The stunning beauty of the area makes a perfect setting, with the gardens of the Grand Hotel at its heart. This was the venue for the festival in the early years. A location that could be both popular and dashingly exclusive, especially when great movie stars of the time rolled up in Locarno. From the outset, the wind of international celebrity was blowing through the festival, bringing big names from Hollywood to the shores of Lake Maggiore.
Locarno. I like how he says that.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed in how I said it, so I'm going to try again. Locarno.
Yeah, that's more like it, isn't it?
Yeah, so in recent years, it has built a strong credibility for showing the best European films, and it's also touted as a festival of discovery, and the best feature of the festival is this open-air screening area at the Piazza Grande, with room for over 8,000 spectators. It's one of the largest open-air screens in the world.
Can you imagine 8,000 people all watching a movie at the same time?
Exactly. August in Switzerland, you know, the weather must be amazing to be outside.
That'd be outrageous, wouldn't it? It'd be like going to a Premier League football match.
Yeah, I suppose it would be a bit like that. But now again, we're moving back to America, to Austin. And this is for the South by Southwest. Now, if you don't recognize the name, I had the same problem. That's because it's written as SXSW.
All right.
Which is quite a well-known name, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's South by Southwest.
Could be a radio station, couldn't it?
So it started in 1987 as a music festival, believe it or not. Now it covers films, conferences, and interactive media. Take a little listen to this.
In 1986, friends Roland Swenson, Louis Black, and Nick Barbero conceived the idea for a festival. At the time, they were all newspaper staffers at the Austin Chronicle. The trio approached local booking agent Louis Myers to help create an event which would showcase Austin's eclectic music scene nationwide. This event would become the foundation for South by Southwest. Roland Swenson explains his thoughts on the event's humble beginnings.
Louis Myers and I got together and said, we're going to use New Yorkers. We can do this.
I'd like to welcome you to South by Southwest. This is our first time, so lots of things are bound to go wrong.
The name comes from a play on words from the Alfred Hitchcock classic, North by Northwest. The festival first debuted in 1987 with 172 acts scheduled to take the stage. The guys expected about 150 hipsters to show up for the event, but were surprised when more than 700 eager music lovers showed up.
700 hipsters.
Yeah, so it started as a music festival, but by 2009 it had become well known for its secret shows, where companies used the festival's In Vogue image to promote their products, like Metallica's secret surprise show to promote Guitar Hero.
The idea of these surprise shows.
Yeah.
You're just popping up, you never know what it's going to be.
Exactly. One of the best, you know, ideas over here, it's called the Midnighters. It's been specifically designed keeping horror movie lovers in mind.
Really? So scary stuff at midnight.
Yeah, and this festival has launched the career of many famous names, such as Fred Armisen, you know him from SNL, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
John Mayer, Your Body's Wonderland.
Okay. Yeah.
British singer James Blunt.
Okay, You're Beautiful.
Yes, and Amy Winehouse.
Really?
Yeah.
They all perform there.
They got a lot of fame and fortune heading into the SXSW. So now, from America, we're off to the German capital, and for the prestigious Berlin Film Award of Film Festivals.
This is a goodie, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it was founded in West Berlin in 1951. It's considered the largest publicly attended film festival worldwide, and that's based on the annual attendance rates. Now, up to 400 films are shown in several sections, representing a comprehensive array of the cinematic world. Around 20 films compete for the Golden and Silver Bears. And even though it's not in the same league as the top three festivals on this list, maybe because it happens in February each year, it's still one of the most prestigious film festivals out there. Now, here's Christine Trostrom, who's a project manager, and Matthias Wutek-Null, who's a program manager, and they're talking about the Berlin talents.
Berlinale Talents is an international summit for the most promising filmmakers in the world. So we invited every year 300 filmmakers coming from around 80 countries. And when you start your international career, so this is the starting point, you have to be there at Berlinale Talents.
Right. Interesting one, this, isn't it? Berlin, I mean, it's such a creative, artistic city, you know. I remember going there and kind of just by the Berlin Wall, there was a fabulous museum that was actually showing a David Bowie interactive exhibition.
Oh, wow.
Which was just fantastic.
Yeah, I really like Berlin, but I don't know how it must be in February. I suppose it will be super cold.
It'll be chilly, yeah.
Yeah, with some snow as well.
You won't want to be sleeping outside.
Not at all.
Am I your type of holiday?
Am I your type of holiday?
Yeah, well, it's certainly my type so far. I mean, some of these film festivals that you've been taking me to are pretty spectacular, I have to say.
Yes, we've been everywhere. We've been to Madrid, we've been to London, we've been to America, we've been to Berlin. But now, we cannot talk about film festivals without mentioning Sundance.
Yeah, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Now, it is the largest and the most important film festival for independent films. It happens every January in Park City in Utah, and it's produced breakout indie talents like Shane Carruth with Primer. It was showcased there first, or Richard Linklater, the flag bearer of indie filmmaking, whose several films from Before Sunrise to Boyhood have all premiered there. The festival started in 1978 with the goal of promoting independent films, and it surely has been doing that for the last 40 years. Now, Matthew Belloni is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter.
It really sets the tone for the year in culture, in film and television. It's really the only place to get a high-profile launch for a nonfiction film. And a lot of these films go on to get bought by television networks and by theatrical distributors and make a big difference. A lot of the most anticipated films are ones that are not only potentially controversial, but are seeking that controversy. You have documentaries about Anthony Weiner. You have a film called Birth of a Nation, which is about a slave uprising told from the perspective of the slaves. In addition to the theatrical distributors, there are Netflix, Amazon, HBO, Showtime, CNN, all of these different venues that are going to Sundance looking for great movies to buy.
So that's the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah, it sounds a goodie, that one, doesn't it? And, you know, it's definitely one of the leading festivals in the world. But this next one, The City, is one of my favourites in the world, and we're talking Venice.
Yeah, I've never been, and this festival was founded in 1932. It is the oldest film festival in the world. It takes place in late August or early September on the island of Lido, that's in Venice in Italy.
Yeah.
It's only second to Cannes in terms of prestige, and lately it's also become one of the three festivals which acts as a launchpad for the Oscar movies.
Okay.
Yeah, so Venice is one of the most major tourist destinations in the world, so obviously the film festival will not be a cheap thing to go to, but the whole experience is apparently worth every
penny.
Yeah,
I think seeing George Clooney arriving, you know, on one of the canals in Venice would be pretty spectacular, don't you think?
I mean, he's got a house in one of the islands, right? Or he owns one of the islands. I could be wrong.
He probably owns more than one, I would have thought.
Yeah, probably. So that's the Venice Film Festival. Now we've come to the top three. Now we're going to go to Telluride. It's if you ask any Oscar strategist which is the most important film festival, they will tell you the Telluride Film Festival.
Now, I've not come across this one before.
It's quite well known.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, you know, it's become a launchpad for a lot of the Best Picture winners,
okay.
Oscar winners. So Moonlight, Spotlight, Birdman, 12 Years a Slave, all Best Picture winners. And they were all first shown at this film festival.
So if you get your film into Telluride, you have a pretty good chance
exactly.
of walking away with an Oscar. You never know.
Yeah. But if that's not a reason enough, it also tells it's possibly its most peaceful and beautiful venue for a film festival. And they have quite a few big names coming down there as well.
Malala, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Well, first of all, thank you so much to all of you for watching the film and for your support. So when I was attacked, I had this feeling that I should strongly believe in forgiveness and in patience and tolerance. This is what I have learned from my religion. This is what I have learned from my father and my family. And this is the basics on which I live my life, to be patient and kind to others.
Malala.
Malala.
Yeah.
Yeah, her documentary was shown there as well. So it's one of the good ones that if you can go to them, that's one of the ones.
Incredible.
Yeah, and now we'll come to the top two. So my second pick is, of course, Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most prestigious film festival in the world. It started in 1947, and the Palme d'Or is the highest honor presented there. And, you know, like other festivals, Cannes is also divided in several sections, but the In Competition and Un Certain Regard are the sections where the creme de la creme of the films are showcased. So that's the one, you know, where you see all the red carpet galas and all the beautiful dresses. And, you know, that's Cannes. Everyone knows.
It's a biggie, isn't it? It's
Cannes. But the thing is, it's an invitation only. So before you go on and plan your trip, make sure you've got an invitation.
Now, I'm glad you chose as number one my city that I was born in as the number one film festival.
I didn't know you were born there.
I was born in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So Toronto International Film Festival is my number one pick. And mostly because it's the largest publicly attended film festival in the world. And it's also one of the largest in terms of the sheer volume of films that are shown every year. In 2015, there were 397 films from 71 countries.
That's a lot of movies.
Yes, and 28 screens were used to screen them, with an estimated 480,000 attendees.
This is mass movie watching.
Massive, yes. More than your football stadiums, I would assume. Now, TIFF may be second to Cannes in terms of prestige, but it's certainly one of the most influential film festivals when it comes to the Oscars as well. So every Best Picture Oscar winner since 2007 has been screened at TIFF. In fact, seven of them have had their world premieres there as well. And as an attendee, you will find yourself spoiled for choice. And depending on whether you want to see contemporary world cinema, latest documentaries, or even short films, you've got an entire list to choose from.
Absolutely amazing. You've convinced me that this is definitely my type of a holiday. And I think Toronto would be top of my list.
I think I'm going to go for the Venice, only because there may be chance of meeting George Clooney.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
Am I your type of holiday? There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.